Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Life Coach Radio Network here on Life Coach Radio Network. I'm Carla Chinevere, and today's episode is on summertime and vacations. Are you ready to have fun? Now, with school just about over and longer and warmer days finally here, it's time to think about how to spend summer days and what to do to have more fun. Now, what are some of the things you need to know and do to assure that you'll enjoy some good family time as a family or maybe even just as a couple? And what are some of the pitfalls of vacationing? Yes, there are some pitfalls to going on vacation, and we'll talk about that. I'd like to start off our show by letting you know how you can join us on our call, and there are two ways in doing that. So first, you can call us at the number that you see if you're on the Internet at top, which is 646-716-9397, and this is the line that you would call into, and then I would be able to have you join our conversation if you have something you want to share or you have a question you'd like to ask us. Or you can go to our chat room, which is just below our Blog Talk Radio chat box, and just type in your question or your comment, and I'll see them, and then we'll answer them on our call. But before we start, let me share with you a little bit more about Life Coach Radio Show and our co-hosts, which are Kim Rivita and Connie Costello. So Life Coach Radio Network is comprised of Life Coach Radio Network, International Life Coach Radio, and Life Coach Chat Channel. And all three of those are the brainchild of creator, executive producer, and host Russ Perry. Now, Russ brought together over 40 life coaches from around the world to share their wisdom, expertise, and professional coaching techniques with you all for free. Now, the shows air daily and on various topics people are struggling with, such as relationship, career, finance, personal development, and more. And if you go to Blog Talk Radio and look up for the different stations, you can actually listen to some of our past shows if you've not been able to be on any of our shows live. So I'd like to invite Connie Costello, followed by Kim Rivita, to tell us a little bit more about themselves, what they do, before we jump in our conversation of summertime and vacation. Are you ready to have fun? So, Connie Costello, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, and where people can reach you.
Thank you, Claudette. Thank you again for having me on your show tonight, today. And, Kim, good to be with you again. I'm Connie Costello, and I'm a health coach. I help people lose weight and gain energy through the power of food and exercise. There's none of these pre-made foods or magic potions or pills. I believe it's a lot of habits that we need to change to start eating food that actually nourishes and make us feel good. And lose the weight, of course. So that's what I do. And people can learn a lot more about me and by visiting my website at ConnieCostelloHealth.com. And, if they want to ask me any questions, please go right ahead. I'm here today.
Excellent. Thank you, Connie. So my next co-host is Kim Rivita, and I'd like for you, Kim, to share with us who you are, what you do, and where people can find you.
Hi, Claudette. Hi, Connie. It is great to be here with both of you today, and I love this topic because I kept saying yesterday, it's summer, which really by calendar it is not, but Memorial Day does signify that for me. So I am Kim Rivita, and I am the owner and founder of Kim Rivita Coaching. I work with women in business to take powerful money actions and make solid, productive business decisions that positively impact their life and their business. I work with my clients through group and one-on-one coaching to help them build a solid money foundation and make those quick business decisions so that they take the steps to positively move forward in their profession and in their personal lives so that they enjoy what they're doing. So by partnering with and supporting my clients, I help them make the desired changes that they want in their lives. I am also a regular monthly co-host here on Life Coach Chat channel, and I'm, again, very excited to be with both of you. My website is www.kimravida.com. It's K-I-M-R-A-V-I-D-A.com, and you can reach me at an email, which is kim@kimravida.com. But all of my contact information is there, so please feel free to poke around, check it out. I have some nice resources that are free to download to begin your journey. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Kim, and thank you, Connie. I'm really excited to have you both here and talk on our topic. So my name is Claudette Sinovan, and I'm known as a stepmom coach, and I work with women who find themselves in a serious relationship or married to a man who has kids from his previous relationship. This woman is asking herself, what did I get myself into? You know, it's not as easy as she first thought. There's more challenges than she anticipated, and she's wondering, you know, what is it that I need to do different? Or how can I deal with crazy people that are in my life and I have no control over them? So through individual and group coaching and e-courses, I help these women understand and work out their new role in the family, create a strong and harmonious relationship with the kids, her husband, and to find a way for herself to take care of what she needs to do and how she needs to fit in this family. I'm a master certified step family coach and trained with Resolve Coaching System. I've been a stepmom for 24 years and a mom for over 30. And most of all, I enjoy being a grandmother to four great, wonderful grandchildren. I'm also a regular co-host on Life Coach Radio Networks, offering professional coaching advice to you so that you can actually implement things today and not have to say, where can I go? And I'm also very active on Facebook, Google+, as well as Twitter and LinkedIn. Now, to find out more about me, visit my website, which is www.stepmomcoach, where you will be able to download some great free resources and find out about any upcoming events or activities that I am up to. Again, that is stepmomcoach.com. Really excited about today's topic because, as Kim mentioned, you know, summer is here, or at least for us physically, and when you look outside, and it's summertime. And so we're having fun with that. And the thing is to understand that even though it's summertime, it may not be easy to plan something for summer. And so we're going to talk about, you know, what are some of the things that we can do to make it fun, enjoyable, that we can actually feel like we're relaxing, enjoying family time. So I'm going to start by asking Kim and Connie, do you go on vacation? And if you do, what is your favorite thing to do? So let's start with Connie. I want to find out, because I talked to her a little bit before, so I know she did a few things, and I'm looking forward to hearing what she's done. So what are some of the things? Well, first of all, Connie, do you go on vacation, and what is your favorite thing to do?
Oh, yes, I live for vacations. Actually, my husband and I, that's where we spend the money, you know. That's a big treat. We love to travel the world. So we try to you know, get in some good vacations there. And we've been to many places in Europe and South America and so forth. We enjoy it. We enjoy taking the kids and showing them new places, different languages, different experiences. We go skiing. One of our best vacations is to the Bahamas. We are in Florida, and the Bahamas is very easy to get to for us. And we love snorkeling and scuba diving. So that is, I mean, we totally enjoy that. And we're hoping to get some of those in this summer coming up. We're now enjoying beautiful weather here in Florida. getting hot, but still, we like it. As long as you're wet, everything's okay. So that's how we bear the heat, you know? You got to be in that water.
Yes. Well, you're surrounded with water, so you're in the perfect place to be, you know, enjoying really hot weather and water and water activities. So, and while you were talking about Bahamas and snorkeling, my husband and I did some diving, and it's amazing what you can see underwater, and we snorkeled also, and it's, you know, it's one of the things that you can really enjoy. If you just snorkel, I mean, it costs next to nothing to snorkel if you're lucky enough to be close to areas where you can go. So, awesome. Thank you, Connie, for sharing that. How about you, Kim? Do you go on vacation, and where is your favorite place to go?
We do, and our favorite place to go is Aruba, and we usually go in March, so it is a regular planned vacation, and we also take time in the summer to just hang out because we live in a beach community on the North Shore of Boston. So we have a fabulous beach area, but we also have a lot of other beaches that we can go to. So we make that a priority to hang out with our friends and really just take the time to be on, quote-unquote, vacation, whether it's an away vacation, which is completely different than a stay-at-home vacation, but to really just honor those times. And I am a firm believer that we need, as families and as couples and even as individuals, that time that you are completely out of your regular day-to-day environment and regular routine and activities to gain a different perspective, have peace of mind, and reduce stress and become more creative and peaceful both inside and out. So, yes,
yeah.
I love vacation.
Yeah, no, and you brought up some great points. A few things that you mentioned is that it's a regular planned vacation. And I'm glad you brought that up because one of the things that my husband and I do, and we've done that for the last 24 years that we've been together, is that every January we sit together and the first thing we do on our calendar is plan our vacation. We don't plan anything else before we plan vacation because for us, vacation is a priority, and you mentioned that. We've learned through the years that if you don't plan to take vacations or to go away, it doesn't happen. All of a sudden you realize, oh, my gosh, summer's over. We haven't gone anywhere. We haven't done anything that we wanted to do. And, you know, it's gone. And for us, one of our favorite vacations is going in an RV. Now, for some of you who've heard my story before, my husband and I lived in our RV for the last 19 months. So it was like a permanent 19-month-long vacation. And, you know, it's something that we learned to, you know, when you're going on vacation, you also learn to live in a different environment and sometimes in close quarters. People have huge homes nowadays, and so when you are going on vacation, you're often in a smaller home and smaller environment, which means that it's also an environment where you have to live together in a different kind of way. So, but just to come back to why we do go on vacation, and our favorite thing to do is, as I said, camping. But we've gone on cruises, we've gone on all kinds of vacations, and like Connie, you know, bringing our kids when they were little to show them different things of the world, to show them a different perspective that not everybody, you know, lives the same way we do, and it also helps to, you know, have other experiences in life. So to come back to, you know, when you're going on vacation, there are times that, you know, we're having fun, we're in this small environment, but there are times that it doesn't go as nice or as well as planned. So what are some of the nightmares? If you've ever had nightmares on vacation, what were some of your nightmares during vacation? Let's start with Kim. I want to hear from Kim. Nightmares on vacation. Because you said you live in the community, beach community, so I'm sure that you must have seen some of the things that may not always go well when you're on vacation or in a place where it's a vacation place.
Well, I guess I'm kind of lucky because I haven't had any personally, knock on wood, nightmares. But I think that's because I do a lot of planning and forward thinking, and I use my experiences from the past to improve my future experiences, I guess. So, you know, like it could be, oh, well, okay, probably one of the first nightmares. I guess I do have a nightmare. It's not really a nightmare, but the first time I went on vacation with my husband, we had gone to customs coming out of Logan, and I was super excited because, you know, it was the first time. And the TSA guy handed me back my passport, and we sat down to go get coffee, and all of a sudden I said, I don't know what I do with my passport. And he's like, well, you just had it. And I, like, jumped out of my seat, and he's like, well, where are you going? I go, I must have left it with him. Like, he would let me do that anyways. But so I was in a major panic and all in a dither. And he's like, wait a minute. Now, sit down. You just had it in your hand. And fortunately, he's very calm. And so I started going through my stuff. Well, I had a special Zip-It pouch in my carry-on that was for the passport. And I had put it there, but I didn't trust myself. So that was sort of like a big panic. And then that was sort of the catalyst, too. Okay, wait a minute. When I go away, what do I need? How do I want to be? I really focus on how I want to be. Because you know what? I don't want to be stressed. I don't want to be in that position. I want to become relaxed and excited. So that, I guess, you know, it could be, right, if you forgot your plane tickets or you got to the terminal and they said they had no reservation for you, those could be complete and total nightmares. Mm-hmm. But I try to back it up and take steps ahead of time so that there is no nightmare. And for us, if we go to the beach, you know, and we've forgotten a blanket or our cooler or whatever, well, it's just like a two-minute ride home in the car. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I'm just lucky, and I think maybe what I would tell people is to take those steps ahead of time and plan and think about, you know, how do you want to be on vacation? And I worked with many people who would be running out on vacation just because they planned the vacation, but they didn't take any time to pack. They're packing that night, the night before, or that morning, and they're throwing stuff in, and they're not remembering the important things or the things they want to bring on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are great points, Kim. And you're right, you know, planning is really important. When you were talking about, you know, not sure about your passport, this wasn't my nightmare, but I know of a friend of my daughter's who actually was in Spain and had her passport stolen. And that was really, like, terrible for her because she was a young student. And it happens, you know. They think, oh, no, I'll just put it in my pocket. Everything will be fine. And so her passport was stolen. And that is a huge pain to deal with. And on the same type of level, when we had gone to Paris, my husband and I, we had taken the train or the metro, and as we were getting out, someone almost pickpocketed my husband's wallet. I happened to turn around. I saw the guy, you know, put his hands in my husband's pocket, and my husband saw my face, and he immediately put his hand on the pocket, and the guy ran away. So he, without stealing the money. So, you know, those are the kind of nightmares that can happen. But I'm sure we have others that we can share that are not maybe as dramatic. So, Connie, what are some of the nightmares, if you've had any, that has happened while on vacation, and what did you do about it?
Oh, well, like you've been saying, I mean, many things can go wrong on vacation. Planning is definitely important, and it helps prevent a lot of things, like Kim was talking about, planning being fundamental, really. But there's other things that are beyond our control, the suitcases that get lost along the way, and the, like you said, the pickpocketing and so forth. For me, what happened is traveling with my daughter, she was, of course, little, and I'm traveling to Argentina, so it's out of the country, and I totally forgot I knew this because I had to do it myself when I was a child, that you need permission from the parent to travel with your child alone, from the other parent. So we are checking, yeah. We are at the counter, and I'm like, I don't have that. Well, thank goodness, he was at the office, somebody works there who has power of attorney. They faxed it to the airline, and everything worked out. But it was a very stressful moment, right? At the airport in Miami, he back at home, it was just crazy. But so those are things that, especially when you're traveling international, you need to make sure you know what visas you need to get and if you're traveling with young kids and so forth. And so that was the main one. Regarding that. But for us, traveling also is a little tricky when it comes to food. And that's because my daughter has a health issue and food is part of her medicine. So it's very hard for us to travel sometimes. And right now, we can't even travel outside the country because it's that specific. So
yeah. Go ahead. No, I was going to say one of my stepdaughters just went to Shanghai not long ago, and she's allergic to shellfish. Well, what do you think happens when you go to Asian countries?
A lot of shellfish.
They eat a lot of shellfish. And so, she has things that she needs to, she has her shots if ever she's allergic to anything. But, that means you can literally eat almost nothing. I mean, because everything is prepared in shellfish, or it's like you're not sure what you're eating. And so you're eating salad. I'm glad you brought that up because, that is a big concern when you're going away on vacation. If you have food allergies or if you have food restrictions, if you're diabetic or things like this, or gluten intolerant, going on vacation is really, really challenging because you can't control, what always is in what you're eating, especially if you're eating out a lot or on most of your vacation. So, yeah.
Exactly.
And I love what you shared about permission because when we're traveling with stepkids, as a stepfamily, permission from another parent is really important. Although that people don't really enjoy this, I know that when we've gone from Canada to Florida on trips, we needed to have the permission of the mom to let us take the kids out of the country so that we wouldn't have problems in customs, and which isn't a bad idea because, we don't want our kids being taken away or gone away from us and not see them. So even though it's a pain to have, the paperwork and the customs and making sure that we have all the paperwork, it's really important to have that as part of the vacation. And as Kim mentioned, that is one of the reasons why planning your vacations ahead of time is really important because sometimes it takes a while to get all of those in order. For us, or for me, one of our nightmares for vacation was doing too much. We as adults, we have this idea of we're going to do everything that's in the theme park. And this is, I'm relating to when we went to Disney with our kids. We had scheduled that we're going to do a whole bunch of things. We're going to be very super busy. But the problem is when you have tired kids, then they become cranky kids, and then cranky kids are crying kids, and then crying kids mean angry parents. So that was part of our nightmare, and that was really tough. And a hard lesson for us to learn was that, you know, sometimes doing less on vacation is actually having more fun. And I think that's important to understand that, you know, jam-packing your trip is probably not always the best thing to do. But if you leave some time to enjoy the moments you're together and, you know, having the finding the time to, you know, be together and understand that going on vacation doesn't mean to have to do every single thing that's on that brochure you have or whatever place you're going. Another thing that Connie mentioned and I thought was really good, you talked about food. I know that when we go on vacation, although I don't have any food allergies or intolerance, eating at a restaurant 3 meals a day for whatever amount of time you're gone is, you know, outrageously difficult for us. And then we tend to be overeat a lot. So I'd like for both of you, Connie and Kim, to share about, you know, dealing with food on vacation. What are your concerns and how do you deal with food on vacation? And I'd like to start with Connie on this one. So what are your thoughts around this?
Okay, yeah, it's a big challenge. I'm sure we've been there. Like you said, it's eating out a lot and also, you know, the drinks, if you drink, and if you're like in a like warm weather beachy area in the pool and everything, you tend to just be drinking those frozen drinks on and so forth. They're loaded with sugar and so forth. But I recommend, like you said, we eat a lot. That's one of the big problems, I think, because we are in restaurants and in we have to think of the meals and go to the place where everybody's eating, and just the whole atmosphere creates a perfect situation for you to overeat. All those smells and so forth in restaurants just make us do that. And the bottomless bread basket that, you know, you should just tell the waiter to hold the bread and make little changes that will help you not overindulge. Definitely desserts, I recommend don't even go there unless, you know, of course, unless every now and then, especially because you're on vacation, it's like a special time, especially with the family. But I know families that go on vacation and it's free reign. They have ice creams every day for the kids and they treat them to this and to that. And I'm like, it's too much sugar. It doesn't help them. It doesn't help them to be patient if they have to wait in line, like at Disney. It doesn't help them with, you know, just being in good mood. Eventually, all that sugar makes them really cranky because that's what sugar does to us. So just try to eat, you know, real foods. Definitely get those salads, and which are very refreshing, too. And there's not much you can do, Claudette. I mean, we're out of the house, and we're going to, especially if you're in a hotel and don't have a kitchen, any access to kitchen, you're going to be eating out a lot. So yeah. The sauces are one thing, the dressing, all those things, keep them minimum and try to eat the healthiest way possible, which is packing in the vegetables and the fruits and easy on all the rich foods and the meats. And one very important thing, if you are out in a hot weather, you need to keep hydrated. I can't overemphasize this because most people are very dehydrated every day, and then they go to these climates that dehydrate them even further. And we're, you know, if you enjoy drinking, once again, you're drinking more probably, and that's a big dehydrator. So definitely, you know, get that water in there and carry a bottle with you all at all times. Make sure your kids are hydrated. That's very important. And do the best you can. I mean, you are on vacation, so a little indulgence is okay, but don't overdo it.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Connie. And I know that when you are talking about, you know, eating fruits and vegetables, one of my biggest problems I had was when I just went to Canada not too long ago, and we spent 5 days eating in restaurants and being with family and friends. And one of the things that I had a hard time with was actually finding fruits and vegetables to eat at a restaurant. Like, we've had meals and there were very little vegetables with the meal. Even the salad wasn't that big, and or it was all covered with stuff that wasn't, I didn't want to have. And so, you know, eating fruits and vegetables in a restaurant is really, really tough. It's not easy to find. And so I'll share a little bit on how we deal with this, and other than when we go to hotels and stuff like this. So Kim, share with us how you deal with overeating and food over the summertime.
Well, very much like both of you were saying, you know, when you travel, it is challenging to not overeat, and you sometimes do have that feeling of indulgence. And you'd eat maybe something that you wouldn't necessarily eat at home because, one, you're not cooking it, and, two, because, oh, I'm on vacation and I've been looking forward to this. I try to eat like I would normally eat at home. Like, I think, okay, what would I normally eat at home? Fruits, vegetables. I don't limit myself to any particular food, or I don't take, so, and unfortunately I don't have a food allergy, so I have that flexibility. But we went to Spain 2 years ago in August, which is the time that you're not supposed to go to Spain because it was like 114 degrees. And I love the heat, so I didn't have a problem with it. But what happened to me, and I still chuckle about it, is I was the one who got dehydrated. And I say I chuckle about it because I'm the fitness instructor who's constantly telling my people, before you come in to work out, you have to have drink some water. During workout, drink water. Afterwards, drink water. Eat water, nutrient foods. And so it was, you know, my traveling companions were all laughing at me, like, oh, yeah, this is the one who gets dehydrated. But it was so easy. And like Connie said, you know, a lot of us are dehydrated to begin with. And that knocked me out. I was out of circulation for about 2 days of our trip, and it was challenging, and it wasn't pleasant, and it wasn't pretty. And I missed a lot because I had to stay in the hotel room because I, you know, not to be gross, but I ended up with a case of diarrhea because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was trying to, you know, then I sent my husband to the pharmacy, and I got some stuff, which finally helped, and then my girlfriend was traveling, thankfully, with Imodium, and I was reluctant to take it, but finally one day I said, okay, hand it over. And that would be, you know, with drinking the liquids and everything else, but I try to plan, okay, where am I going? And I'll do some research online to see, you know, what's the food like? What are people saying? I haven't traveled any place where I, you know, let's say like a third world country or anything like that. So I suppose my approach would be different. But I think it goes back to the planning. And, you know, Connie, with your daughter and allergies, and Claudette, your story about your friend with the shellfish, you know, where sometimes, like with me, I didn't anticipate having dehydration. So I had to go with the flow then. But if we can take those steps ahead of time, and, you know, I loved what you said about not doing so much and, you know, kind of planning out your time and having rests in between. Because early on when I vacation, yeah, I would just be go, 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 go constantly. And part of the reason my husband and I go to Aruba every year is because we've done all the stuff that is to do there. Can we repeat? Yes, but we don't feel the pressure to do that. We can just casually relax on the beach, have quiet, peaceful dinners. We have met people down there, so we'll connect with them. So it's that slow time for us where we're not go, go, go. Now, our Spain trip was very much go, 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 but we also had built in rest along the way. So I think it is a matter of, you know, okay, what type of vacation are you having, but, you know, planning it out and saying, okay, when I come back, I always do this, when I come back, I don't want to feel like I need a vacation after my vacation.
Exactly.
So
I'll
always try to plan out like that last day sort of just to be a relaxing day before the travel day, because depending upon where you're coming from, travel day can be almost a whole day or night.
Yeah, and I love what both of you shared, and I think part of the reason why my husband and I love camping so much is because we can actually control what we're eating. And, you know, we've been camping for, one is because it's very cost-effective as a set family, and all the costs we needed to incur in other things. For us, camping was really a great way of going away on vacation without spending a lot of money, but it also permitted us to be able to eat the foods that we love without having to go to restaurants a lot. Now, mind you, we do go to restaurants, but for me, if I've gone to a restaurant more than 3 days in a row, I really get really cranky. And now what we started to do is that when we go away and we're going to somewhere we know we're going to be like 5 or 7 days away, we try to rent either a condo type of place, or we try to rent a place that has a little kitchenette so I can actually buy my food. It's becoming so difficult. I know for myself, being able to eat in a way I feel I'm not, you know, overwhelming or overeating. And you know, sometimes when you're not home and you see all these great foods, you want to try all these things and say, oh, I've never eaten this. And the food size are outrageously huge in restaurants. And like I said, when we had gone to Canada, we went 5 days. We had no fridge at that time where we went. At the place we went. So we felt compelled to eat our food because we didn't want to waste it, but then we felt bad because we had overeaten. And when we came back and weighed ourselves, I was like, oh, my gosh, what did I do? So now I'm banning myself. I'm going to wait for at hotels and eating all that restaurant food. And then the other thing is that, you know, I tend to bring some of my own stuff if you're allowed. Obviously, there's restrictions from bringing citrus fruit from one state to another or vice versa or even across the interstate. But if you can, I know I tend to bring non-perishables with me in my suitcase, so that at least I can have things that I know that I enjoy, that I don't have to worry about. And even though it's vacation, if I'm not eating well and if I feel bloated or sick, that is not a vacation anymore. So sometimes it's worth preparing a few things in advance so that you can actually, you know, eat well, because eating is part of vacation, and when we don't eat well, we don't feel good. So before we go on, though, I'd love to share with you some shows on our other networks that are coming up, and so that you may find other topics that are of interest of you. So on Life Coach Chat Channel, we have Spiritual Success with Amy Dawidowski. And her topic is Embracing Your Vulnerability, and that is tomorrow, Wednesday, May 28th at 4 p.m. Eastern. And again, on Life Coach Chat Channel, we have The Magic of the Mind with Tamara Robinson, Connie Rogers, and Jennifer Flynn. And that is Thursday, May 29th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Then on Life Coach Radio Network, we have Walk Your Talk with Leanne Parson, and that is Thursday, May 29th at 12 noon Eastern. Now, anytime you're looking for some more information or wanting to listen to some of our shows, you can always go to www.lifecoachradionetworks.com. So, again, we're talking about summer vacation and what we can do to have more fun, enjoy, and be prepared for summer. And we've just talked about, you know, some of the things about planning and making sure you're not putting in too much things in your calendar when you're on vacation. We also talked about food, how to not overeat, and you know, if you have food allergies and what to do. The other thing that I'd like for us to talk about is, you know, there are times that people are talking a lot about staycation, which is stay-at-home vacations. And I know, I think, Kim, you talked a little bit about this at the beginning. So what are some of the tips you may have about staying at home on vacation? And is it worth it? Is it the same thing? Is there things we need to be more aware of in order for it to function, to really benefit from staying at home on a vacation? So let's start with you, Kim, on this. What about staying at home, doing a staycation so that you can enjoy it, and what are the things we need to do to make it successful?
Well, that's a great question, Claudette. What are the things we need to do? And it's interesting. I always notice sometimes when I'm coaching a pattern that emerges, and through this call, there's been a pattern with me, and that is planning. And while I didn't sit down as I was planning my call today, and that was not a focal point, but it's just interesting. So really plan. If you're going to stay home, plan things to do, because what will end up happening is you will do the regular routine things. You'll fritter your time away. So plan to use the time that you have in the way that you want to. So taking a step back and saying, okay, Monday we'll go pack the kids up and go to the beach. Tuesday we'll go and take in the new exhibit at the art museum. Wednesday we'll whatever it happens to be, if that is the type of vacation you want. Now, I have also had vacations where I've stayed at home and I've gotten a lot of things done around my house. But again, I've planned it. I try not to allow my time to get eaten up by things that I wanted or needed to do later, but said, well, I'll just fold this load of laundry now. Oh, all right, well, I'll give the dog a bath now. Oh, well, okay, let me wash the floors now. And then it's 5 o'clock, and I say, well, I never made it to the beach today, or I didn't call my friend to see if she wanted to go for lunch because I knew she was free today too. So taking that step back, creating a plan, what is it you want out of your vacation? Look at the end result at the end of the week or the time that you have, whether it be 4 days, a day even. What is it you want to have happened? And then backing it up and creating that, and maybe buying movie tickets online or buying theater tickets online so you actually have that motivation and, there's a word for it, and I can't think of it, but that target action that you know you're going to do. Because if not, your time will just expand. Your task will expand to the time that you have. And if you have all day, it'll take you all day to fold the laundry. And then at the end of the week, you'll say, oh, my God, no, you know, I wasted my vacation. And nobody wants to be in that position. So for a staycation, be very clear about what it is you want to get out of it and how you want to feel at the end. So when you go back to work, if you have a job or, you know, somebody says to you, oh, how was your vacation? You can say, oh, my gosh, it was fabulous. I really enjoyed it. I had a great time. As opposed to, oh, well, I didn't get to do what I wanted to do. Because a lot of times it's us who get into that pot of, you know, I didn't get to do what I wanted to do because we got in our way. So create the plan to create what you want.
Great, great suggestions, Kim. And it's true, you know, time tends to whittle away when we don't, you know, structure it. And all of a sudden you realize, wow, my week is gone, my summer is gone, my year is gone. And that's true with anything in life. When you don't have a plan, when you don't write it down, it makes it really difficult to follow through sometimes because we forget what it is we said we wanted to do and because we don't have it written anymore. So what about you, Connie? What are your thoughts around staycation, and what are your suggestions or tips on how to make it a success?
Like Kim said, planning is huge, very important. Just as when we go away somewhere, we usually plan. I would think most people plan. I mean, there's more at stake. You know, you're spending money on the traveling and probably the hotels and so forth. So, and if you're going somewhere new, you usually plan out, you know, you research and find out what places of interest they have and what you should do. I think it's as important or even more important when you're staying at home, so that you don't fall into that trap that Kim was talking about, that you start doing just the routine stuff. Oh, let's do this now, you know, and you start checking your email, and that already sucks out a whole hour of your day or so. You know, you have to really plan it and have itineraries, like Kim totally pointed out. You research what's in your area. Maybe there are some things you haven't done yet. Maybe there's a new museums, or maybe there's a canoe trip on the Everglades here in Florida that we haven't taken, or and that you can just go for the day and do it. So have a plan and stick to it and make it a vacation. When you have kids, it's even, of course, more important because they need to be entertained so that they're not just lounging around watching TV and who knows what else. It's important to get them out of the house, keep them active and interested, and show them a good time. So planning, that's my biggest tip. Mm-hmm. And do fun things. There's so much in people's hometowns. There's a lot of stuff usually that we just don't do because we live there. And only when I find, like, when people come visit me, then we start looking at, okay, where should we take them and what should we do? And we start doing all these fun things. So it could be a really great time, a very inexpensive way of taking some quality time with your loved ones. So it's a great idea.
And you're right, you know, Connie, you know, and Kim, both of you, planning is really, really great. And I know that we've had a few times where we have vacations where we stayed home with the kids. Again, for some people, going on vacation is not something they can actually do because of the cost, or that the kids can't leave the state of the country, or the other parent won't allow the kids to go away. Now, being in the stepfamily, that happens where there's struggles and issues around kids leaving or going away. And so some of the things that we've done while on vacation was to have our kids bring friends over so that the kids could have sleepovers with their friends. And so although it's not a vacation, or for some people it may not feel like a vacation for the parents, you know, just the fact that your kids have friends to play with and do something could be a time where you can have some downtime to read that book you've been wanting to read, or, you know, maybe going to the park with the kids so you can just sit and relax and do a picnic. I know we've done plenty of picnics, even in our own backyard. Again, where if we're talking about food and having food issues, you know, creating a picnic in your backyard, sitting and barbecuing or grilling, you know, could be something that's really fun. Community pools are a great way to spend the day with your kids if you don't have, like, the time to go away. Recreational parks, there's a lot of great things going on during the entire summer. I know my husband and I just moved to a new area, and we don't know anyone yet. We've been in our place for the last, you know, five and a half months, and I find that summertime's a great way of meeting new people because everybody goes out. And we've done our research. We've gone to our recreational parks organization association so we can find out what's going on. There's national parks that are close that cost next to nothing to go and take a hike or go nature walking. Or, again, you know, going out for a bike ride, you know, those are things that a lot of people don't tend to do because we're too busy. But if you're planning a vacation at home, You know, that could be something. Board games are often something that are fun to do on vacation. You can do them anywhere. So sometimes it's just a question of, you know, expanding your ideas. And, you know, again, like both Kim and Connie mentioned, you know, plan it out. And, you know, if you don't have the time to do it all, one of the things we've done is we made a list of all the things we enjoy doing. And we sat with the kids around the table and we asked the kids, what are the things, some of the things you like to do on vacation? And so we had a running list. I think we had like 50 or 60 items on this list. And, you know, when you have that list and you run out of ideas, because it often happens, when it's time to actually go on vacation or execute or plan it, you don't have those ideas on hand. But if you've created a running list, whether you create it on your iPhone, your iPad, or on a piece of paper that you put on your refrigerator, whatever way you do it, you can look at this list and say, oh, this is great. And actually, one of our lists, we divided in two. So a list for sunny days and a list for rainy days. So that, you know, no matter what the weather is, you can actually do things that are fun and enjoyable for everybody in the family. And when the kids have actually helped plan this list, it makes it that much more fun to do, because they've also engaged in planning and preparing for this list of vacation items. So, again, I'd like to ask both of you, you know, we talked about scheduling, we talked about activities. What about downtime? I want to hear your thoughts, and I did share a little bit about this. How do you plan for downtime during your vacation, if you planned it? And what are some of the things that we can do for downtime on vacation? So let's start with Connie on this one. Planning for downtime.
Planning for downtime. well, I find that it's a tricky question. I mean, it's something that you should definitely pay attention to. But I find that sometimes we are, when we're on vacation, especially because we're active, we're usually in the water, like I said, doing the snorkeling or so forth, or in a foreign country, going to sites. By the time we get to the hotel, everybody's pretty much tired. The downtime is we're all going to bed. Whoever wants to read a book, watch a little TV, is fine. I mean, it's the one time that I would let my kids watch TV is at night, just for a little bit before going to bed, because they're on vacation. Otherwise, it's like, forget it. I try to keep their electronics away, and it's so hard nowadays with the phone and the iPad and all these things, and they carry them around, and they're conversing with all these people. It's really tough. The whole electronics gets on our nerves, my husband and I. But it's the new generation. I mean, kids are just hooked on these things. And that's, I think when we fought it for so hard, but it's just, it's almost impossible nowadays. Everything is done through computers.
Yes, and you brought a really great point, and I really want us to address in that so that we don't forget about it, because, you know, some of the kids use electronics as their downtime, and sometimes for us parents, we look at electronics as something that is interfering with vacation. So you brought a great point where, you know, it gets on our nerves, and I know for me, it you know, having a conversation with a teenager who's using their thumbs to be talking to people that are not even in the same room with us is like, are you kidding? Like, we're going on a vacation, and you're talking to people about what they're doing in their hometown while you're on vacation? No, that's not going to work.
Right.
I hear what you're saying here. So is it that kids see their electronics as part of, you know, staying connected and enjoying it, or is it just something they're so addicted to and we can't get rid of and they need it for vacation even though we're trying to connect and stay together?
I think it's really hard. either you make them leave it at home, or they're just going to be on it. And leaving it at home is very tough nowadays. I mean, to tell the kids, especially a teenager, you know, because they want to stay connected with their friends. And I think they should have that right, but not during the time that's with whoever you're vacationing, you know, the family and so forth. And as long as it doesn't interfere with what you're doing. But, I mean, I see people at restaurants. They're not even talking to each other. Everybody's on their phone, you know, texting.
Yeah.
And it's sad. It's really sad. I mean, we're losing this communication, face-to-face communication, because we're just so concerned about what others are doing elsewhere, and we're texting them. So, I don't know. It's a difficult battle that I think of us parents are new to it, because this is the generation, our kids' generation, that's really being flooded with all these electronics. And I don't know how it will eventually develop, you know, down the road. But we can just do the best we can and spend time with them, best quality time that we can for now. So, like I said, I mean, if we're on vacation, we get to the restaurant, I mean, to the hotel, we're tired. So
yeah.
If they want a little TV time, I have no problem with that. And usually, mm-hmm. you know, they actually have their room and we have our room, or we're all in one room at the same time, but it's just a little time. And
yeah.
then they'll go to sleep. They're really not – if they're having a good vacation, I find that they're not really that interested in any electronics and stuff like that, because they're entertained, you know. They're
yeah.
doing something new and different. So that's the key.
I think those are great points you're bringing, Connie. It is tough as parents to know, you know, just how much you take away and how much you let them do their electronics and can stay connected. And I agree with you about the restaurant thing about, you know, people are not talking to one another. And actually, my husband and I have this running joke when we see two people at a restaurant texting. The joke is they're probably texting each other what they're going to eat from the menu. Instead of talking, they're just texting. So what are you going to eat? Oh, this looks good. What do you think about this? And so, you know, because it looks so like what, you know, you can't even put that down and look at your menu and talk about what you're going to eat. Anyway, so, yeah, that's with an issue I also have. So so what about you, Kim? What are your thoughts around? And I know I talk about downtime, but I wanted to also include in there the conversation of electronics, because I thought, you know, what Connie brought up, I think it's really, really important to talk about the electronics, downtime during vacation. How do you deal with all of that?
Well, it's definitely a challenge. And I was so enamored with my cell phone when we went on our honeymoon to Europe that I was posting my photos to my Facebook page. Now, I am not a huge Facebook personal page. I use it for business, and I do use it to stay connected. But for some reason, I was just so enamored. And we were in Switzerland at the tail end of our trip, and my husband got a telephone call on his cell phone, and we had gotten an international plan with some data, but not a whole lot. And I hear him say, yes, that would be my wife. And he looked at me, and I was like, uh-oh. Well, we came home to a nice big bill of 4 digits, and that was a big eye-opener to me. So I now leave my phone at home when we travel. He takes his so we can make those phone calls to home and stuff like that. It is a challenge for me not to be connected in that way, but I take an iPad, and I plan and I set the time of when I will utilize it to check my email, because I run a business and I want to be able to be accessible to my clients, even though they're very respectful when I go away. But if a prospect comes in, I want to be able to reach out to them. I do want to be able to see what's going on at home. We have 2 dogs that we send to a country dog inn, and she posts photos. So I plan my time with my electronics, and I tell myself that I'm constantly attainable unless I put the boundary on it. And I put boundaries at home, and I put boundaries when I'm away. And so, you know, with kids, you need to be that one to set those boundaries and say, like Connie says, you know, okay, you know, it's okay to watch some TV here. We're on vacation. So I like to plan to do the things that I don't normally do when I'm at home, like kick back and, you know, sit on the balcony and have a nice glass of water and relax after a day trip, or sit on the beach and read a whole book in a day, mm-hmm. which I generally don't have time to do in my day-to-day life. So that's sort of like the treat. So I will save things to be able to have the downtime. You know, flying on the airplane, well, what do you have there but downtime? So what is exciting for me to do? So I try to do things that are a little different. And, yeah, I still, you know, have the iPad on the plane, but, you know, it's limited because you have to put it on airplane mode. So I might be able to play some games and things like that. But I think, too, not being so resistant to things and angry because we have this, but putting some boundaries into place. Like, okay, between 5 and 7, you can be on the iPad or your phone or whatever it happens to be. Keeping in mind, remembering now my story about the data charges, that could be quite costly, so make sure before you go anywhere, you check it out. But just making that plan of, you know, when do I want to have downtime? And sometimes we have unexpected downtime, which is really exciting, and we can be kind of thrown by it because we're not used to it. But seeing, oh, this is awesome. You know, those days that I said, oh, I wish I had 5 minutes to myself, I now have that. Let me be in that moment and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love what both of you shared, because when I went on vacation to Cancun not too long ago with my husband, one of the comments he kept saying, well, you can't downshift or unplug from your work. And so for me, it was a challenge. I took it as a challenge. Oh, yeah, you think I can't downtime? Let me show you. So I always love a challenge. So when someone challenges me that I can't, I tend to show them I can. And so that was probably one of the very few times that we didn't check our emails. Plus, as you, we had some surprises in the past with roaming and charges, and had some not nice surprises. So we've learned to, you know, not do this. And one of the advantages of traveling overseas or to another country is the roaming charges. So by not, you know, having this phone and not looking at our messages, it was really, really good. And my husband was impressed. And we actually spent more time talking to one another about different things and projects and goals and things we wanted to talk about. And it was wonderful. And I do have an iPad to read my books. And because it wasn't connected to any Wi-Fi, I actually read several books. And I love to read paper books because I love to write in there. And at any rate, you know, it's a matter of whenever you're going on vacation, have that conversation before you leave and have that decide, okay, are we going to be, you know, allowing ourselves some time to do some Facebook or some Twitter or some email checking, or is this strictly off limits? And have that conversation before you leave so you know what to expect while you're away. And have the kids, talk with the kids about, you know, why is it you want them to be connected or not connected? And, for example, when it comes to stepfamilies, a lot of step-parents or parents require that their kids stay in touch with their other parent because they're concerned and, you know, they're going away. And especially if it's the first time the kids are going away from the home, the mom or the dad may say, I want to know, you know, what's going on. But, again, set some limits. Set some limits. Say we'll call maybe once a day after dinner, before bed, or every few days, or send a text. But you need to have some form of plan in place. Again, we're coming back to planning so that you can have some good time, because, you know, going away on vacation and not being connected to what's happening with you while you're there and with the people can be very annoying and really make some stress and make the vacation tense. And then instead of creating good
positive experiences of your trips and your vacation, you're now creating some negative moments and memories of going on vacation, and then you may resist and resent going on vacation in the future, and you'll wonder, and you may be wondering why. And so our time is, you know, we spent a whole hour talking about going on vacation, and I love what we just shared. And again, I just want to remind people that we do have other stations that we share these kinds of conversations and provide you with some great advice and support and shows about different topics. And just want to share with you some upcoming shows that we have. So on Life Coach Chat Channel, we have Spiritual Success with Amy Dawidowski, where she talks about embracing your vulnerability. And that is on Wednesday, May 28th at 4 p.m. Eastern. And then we have Magic of the Mind with Tamara Robinson, Connie Rogers, and Jennifer Flynn. And that is on Thursday, May 29th at 8 p.m. Eastern. And then on Life Coach Radio Network, we have Walk Your Talk with Leanne Parson. And that is Thursday, May 29th at 12 noon. So, Connie and Kim, I'd love for you to share with us your final thoughts on what we just shared and how people can get in touch with you, and if they'd like to ask more questions about what you do and how you can help them. So, if you can start with Kim, your final thoughts on how we can reach you.
My final thoughts are to plan your ultimate fun vacation, whether it's an away vacation or a home vacation, and keep in mind the reason why you're going on vacation is probably to get away, to relax, to have fun, to maybe learn a little bit about a different culture or a different country, and to enjoy. Life is really meant to be enjoyed, so how do you want to enjoy it, and then go set your steps in place to be able to reach your goal. And I can be reached, again, through my website at www.kimravida.com. That's K-I-M-R-A-V-I-D-A. My email is, and please feel free to write because I will write you back. It will be me. It won't be anyone else. kim@kimravida.com, or by phone if you'd like to have a chat. 781-715-1422, and you can certainly feel free to connect with me at my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/KimRavitaCoaching, or on Twitter, and my Twitter is @KimRavita. But if you have any questions whatsoever, please feel free to reach out. It is a pleasure to be here, and this conversation was great, and I am already in my head thinking, okay, what am I going to do for our June and July time off? So this is great. Thank you, Connie. Thank you, Colette.
You're welcome, Kim. So glad that you're getting some new ideas for your upcoming time off.
I am.
So, Connie, share with us some of your final thoughts on what we just shared and how people can get in touch with you and where they can go to ask you questions.
Sure. Well, like Kim said, yes, this has been a great show, and I'm very excited, too, thinking that the summer is here, and I've got to plan that awesome vacation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But my final thoughts are, yeah, definitely. My final thoughts are, like Kim said, plan. Plan your vacation. Make sure you know what you're doing, you know, where you're going. Make it fun. And if you're traveling to another country, make sure you got everything. You know, make sure those visas, if you need them, are in order and so forth. You never know. Things keep changing around the world with their rules and regulations. And also, you know, it's hard for everything to go perfect on a vacation. There's so many variables in place. When things don't go as expected, you got to just, you know, take deep breaths and try to deal with it the best way possible. Don't let it ruin your vacation. There's always a way to manage the circumstance and to move on and enjoy the time. You know, I can't tell you how many people, you know, just get so stressed about certain things, and then the vacation just gets really out of control. You know, the kids get stressed, fights begin, arguments, it's like it takes everybody to start arguments, and it takes everybody to keep it cool and relaxed. So enjoy your time. Have a wonderful summer. And, you know, also protect your skin. Make sure to use some sunburn and hydrate yourself. And if you would like to reach me, please go to my website at www.ConnieCostello, that's C-O-S-T-E-L-L-O, health.com. I have many free resources that you can download, so please do go and visit. And again, if you would like to reach me, send me an email. I'll answer right back. That's costello@bellsouth.net. And have a super, super vacation with your family, your friends, your kids, whoever. Have a great time. Thank you so much, Claudette. This was wonderful. And Kim, a pleasure again to be in the same show with you.
Well, thank you, Connie, Kim. You know, I love having you both, and we've always had great conversations. And, you know, some of the, my final thoughts about vacation is, you know, we all have a different view about what vacation means. And so having a conversation about, you know, what it is you want, what your expectations, again, coming back to planning that both Kim and Connie shared about, you know, talk about it. What is it you want? Make a list of the different activities you can do. And remember, it doesn't have to cost a lot. It could be something that you could do right in your backyard, in your community center. It could have might be something that kids are doing and having people come over and have other people be with you to do do fun things. It could be as simple as playing board games or playing cards or doing some arts and crafts or reading books and, you know, and eating well as part of vacation and staying drinking and plenty of water and staying healthy is also part of having fun on your vacation, because nothing ruins a vacation faster than having a sunburn, as Connie mentioned, having to stay in bed or having, like, eating something that you're not, you know, that you're allergic to, or, you know, you're not hydrated and then you become sick. So if you want to find out more about me or talk with me about your planning your summer vacation with your stepkids or with your family, I'd love for you to reach me at claudette@stepmomcoach.com, and we can have a conversation about your vacation, how I can help you make it an enjoyable one. And visit my website, because there's a lot of tips in there, which is stepmomcoach.com, and there's plenty of free resources for you to look out. And I would, again, thank you both, Connie and Kim, for being here today and for being my co-hosts on the show with me. And to our listeners, we hope that you enjoyed the past hour and that you found it engaging, enlightening, and useful. And if you have feedback for us or you would like to suggest a show for the future, go to the website www.lifecoachradionetwork.com. I'm Claudia Chenevere, and I'm looking forward to seeing all very soon. Thank you for listening.